Hey, man.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
We almost just need to have an altar call and take on out. Hallelujah. Spirit has been in this place. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. Amen. We thank God for another day's journey. Just have a few words that we'd like to share from the Old Testament, the Psalm number 99. And we'll look at this one from the New American Standard translation. And you can read that if you have a handout. I have an NASB printed on that handout, which is the New American Standard Bible.
Yes.
Psalms 99 and 1. And then in the New Testament, just put a bookmark in the final verses from the Apostle Peter, chapter 2, actually chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Let's read Psalms 99, starting at verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The strength of the kings love justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimony, and his statutes he gave them. O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. Amen. That is Psalms 99 in its entirety. And may God bless the reading and the hearing of his Old Testament word. And now let us read 2 Peter 3:14 to 18. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. That is the new covenant to the people of God. You may be seated in the sanctuary from the Apostle Peter, his final words in the New Testament. And may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
Yeah.
And we'd like to take just a few minutes this morning to talk about discerning love for an evil time.
Yeah.
Discerning love for an evil time.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody say, what is an evil time? And the fact is, Jesus said that the days we live in right now are evil days. Amen. John even said that at the time the New Testament was written, that many antichrists had already arisen.
Yes.
Amen. Those are people who are against Christ or against God's word. It could be said that Israel, as it stands today, the nation of the Jews, are against Christ because they don't believe Messiah has already come. And so this would be a system that would be called a spirit of Antichrist.
Yes.
Amen. Anything that is against the true Messiah is Antichrist. Now, somebody may say, Pastor, that's hate speech the way we live today in our culture. But it's not hate speech because folk have to wake up and understand.
All right.
Because God has one way to save human beings.
One way.
And that's by grace through faith in his Son, who is the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And he's the only one got out of the grave.
The only one.
And was seen among many witnesses, never to see corruption ever again. So he has the credential necessary to convince me that I need to trust in him.
Yes.
He's the only one that has shown me what the hopes of the scriptures are and revealed it, because there would be no church if it were not for Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. So as you know, those of you who've been sojourning with us throughout this year or any time this year, you know, we took it upon ourselves to study about how to love like Jesus. And you and I have entered into a special time, I think, in human history, because we're starting to see the alignment of human history lining up with exactly what God said in his word. It's coming close to those things that describe what the Bible says are the latter days. And so it's necessary for me and you to sharpen up our thinking and our prayer life. And we don't want to be unloving, because many people will begin to be unloving toward the church.
Yes.
See, Jesus said that in the last days there are going to be scoffers and mockers. He taught beforehand, as does Peter in the text that we set before you. In some sense, this has been true all the time. All the way from the beginning, when you see Cain slaying his own brother, Abel, that was the first sign of it in the scripture.
Yes.
Because we saw two brothers, blood brothers of the same mother and father, and one hated the other because of their spiritual stance. Mm-hmm. One believed God, the other did not want to do it God's way. He wanted to do it his own way.
Yep.
That's the same problem you and I have in the culture we live in today.
That's right.
Is that there are those who want to do what God says, and there are those who don't. And so there's always been hostility against the one who chooses to do it God's way. Always has been. So we think it's new, but somehow we don't understand that when we look back, we see it's an old thing in the scriptures. Here's a good example here I've set before you this morning. Psalm 99 says, the Lord reigns. That speaks of the sovereignty of Almighty God. Let the peoples, that means all the people, tremble.
Yes.
He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. In other words, he is so powerful, everyone should yield to him. And I highlighted on your handout that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And you'll find that in this psalm, you'll see that occurs seven times. And that is the tetragrammaton. I'm not going to give you a deep lesson in Hebrew this morning, but that was a symbol of letters that were put together that were not pronounceable. YHWH would be the English equivalent. And we could translate that Yahweh if we wanted to add some vowels to it. But in the KJV and most of the other reasonable texts that translate that passage, or anytime you see that tetragrammaton, which means four letters, tetra is four, grammaton is letters, YHWH, it represents the Most High God.
Yes.
This was an intentional thing done by the Jews because they felt that human beings are really not worthy to speak his name.
That's right.
And that's true. And Moses had written in the law that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So this was a thing they did to reverence the name of God, to set it apart. They put it on the scrolls in the tetragrammaton so it was not even pronounceable. So I don't even have to worry about you saying this because it doesn't have any vowels in it.
That's right.
See, so in the KJV and most good modern translations, you'll see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and we just read it, Lord. And we understand that it means the holy name of the Most High Almighty God.
Yes.
And so we read the word Lord because that's acceptable, and we're not staining the name of God, speaking it out of a sinful set of lips, or so to speak. That's what the Jews had in mind when you see that. So here the psalmist writes, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples, with the S, that means all of them, every living soul, we might say today, Let them tremble, for he is enthroned above the cherubim. Cherubim is plural for a particular type of angels that were always around the presence of the throne of God. We've been studying them in the book of Revelation and also Ezekiel in our Tuesday night Bible study. And he says, let everyone, he is enthroned above the cherubim, saying he's even higher than all the angels.
Yes.
Let the earth shake. The whole earth is just a product of his creation. The Lord is great in Zion.
Yes.
He is exalted above all peoples. Notice that with the S again. That means any people, anywhere, everywhere.
Amen.
Let them, all the people, praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. God is holy. That means he's completely righteous, completely different than us. I don't think it's even possible to completely describe the word holy in any language, much less in English. It just means he's so pure, it's inestimable. So we use the word holy. Holy is he. The strength of the king loves justice. Now, I let you know God is the one who ordained human government. He gives the king authority over certain things in the earth and gives him there to keep justice in the earth. And basically the purpose of government is for the benefit of the people. Because people don't listen to God because they think he's distant and somewhere and that he doesn't care. So I put the government there to give you something to keep you in check so you don't get out of control down there. So government is one of the things that God ordained all the way back in the book of Genesis after the flood, chapter 9, verse 6. Human government was ordained by God. So whoever's in charge, this is the thing I want you to get from this today. Realize God put them there, even no matter how they may be. Because we got some folk, we wonder, how did you get there with the way you acting and the stuff you doing and the stuff you putting down and the stuff you're saying? How did you ever get in office? Well, keep in mind the most, and I always remind you this, if you study with us often here at St. Timothy, you know the most wretched government there's ever been has already been. That was the one who had God the Son in their midst and found him guilty and condoned that he would be crucified. Because you had God himself on your witness stand. You had the Holy One of Israel that we're speaking of here in the flesh. And you found him guilty and said, crucify him. See, that's the worst government there's ever been. Y'all might say, well, this one here is not doing so well either. And I agree with you to some degree. Because we got some terrible stuff. But always remember, the one who sits high and is above all the earth. He allows folk like Nebuchadnezzar that you read about to be the king. But he put him up, and guess what else? He can set him down anytime he's unsatisfied with the results. And so God gives government, but it's for your benefit. So you have to see it that way. You have to learn to be that way. Some people today are rebellious even against government. You see, that's why we see all the reckless kind of stuff going on in our society. People, if you don't care about God and you don't care about government, you are really ruthless. You are an outlaw at that point because you don't have anything that's checking you. You see what I'm saying? And so the fact is, government is a good thing for the benefit of all people. Now, God is not only trying to benefit those who believe him, but also the ones who don't believe him. And so people who don't believe him have a tendency to go farther out of the way than people who do believe him. We say that the people who believe him, we call them God-fearing people. They have some system that I know there's going to be a day of accountability, and I can't just do any old thing I want to do. See, no matter what pleasure I get, no matter what amount of finance it might bring to me, no matter what it is that might benefit me, I got to check in with him. And I want to have a good account and a good record when I speak with him. Because I will see him. So that keeps me in check where I can only go so far, even though I may have a fallen nature. We'll talk about that in a minute. So some stuff, we won't go there. See, or we have to be pushed beyond some limit to go there that's ungodly for whatever reason. But folk who don't believe in God, they don't have those limits because they don't even believe God. See, so they're doing whatever. They don't believe the Lord, and they don't really trust the government. They live in what Jesus called a state of lawlessness. Lawlessness is when I'm in charge here, And whatever I can get away with, that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm. And so people are living like that. We're seeing more and more of it. In our culture, we mentioned this in a couple of lessons back, that our culture has slipped a long way away from being a godly culture. Mm-hmm. Some people try to give it this name. They say that we live in a post-Christian era. Mm-hmm. You see, although when we were calling ourselves pretty serious with God, mm-hmm. there were still some atrocities that went on in our culture. Mm-hmm. You see, but it was not as bad as it is now. Because yeah. back about 50, 60, 70 years ago, people started to remove God mm-hmm. out of the culture. Yeah. We don't want prayer. We don't want the Bible. We don't want any Ten Commandments. We don't want anything from God. Just let us cut loose. Yeah. And you know what God will do when you do that? He will let you cut loose. Yeah. And he'll let you suffer the consequences of you cutting loose. Yeah. So now when we see heartless people in our culture, and y'all know this, we mentioned a couple of lessons back, you wonder, how did these people get so bad? They haven't had any restraining influence from God and his righteousness and his word in their life, so they're just running hog wild. Yes. So don't worry about that, though. If you're a godly person, don't worry about it. Amen. Jesus said, not one hair on your head will perish if you are my sheep. See, if you are in my fold, I got you covered. That doesn't mean I won't be assaulted or something won't happen to me, but it just means ultimately I'm secure in God no matter what happens to me. See? And so God is reigning no matter what people think. He is high above, exalted above all the people. He says, let them praise your great and awesome name. That's what the church is calling out for to the world. Praise the name of God because he is holy. He allows you to be. Think about how gracious and merciful God is. I was thinking about the song Brother John was just singing, Great is thy mercy toward me. He has new mercy, the Bible says, every morning. So God is far more merciful even than we are. You see what I'm saying? You know why he's holding out? He doesn't want to punish the wicked. He wants the wicked to repent and turn around and serve him. Because he didn't make them to destroy them. He made them in his image and in his likeness. There was a time when many in this room, possibly everyone in this room, may have been outside of God's understanding and out of his will. There was a time that you might remember in your life when you began to realize he is holy. He is righteous. He is awesome. And I will serve him. And you intentionally turned your will over to his will. See? And so we may have been in the category of the wicked for a long time. And God calls us out. That's the whole purpose for which he left the church after he revealed his son, is so that we could continue to take the message of his love even to the wicked, to the ends of the earth. But God has set a day on his calendar, and the very next item on the calendar of God is the second advent of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus said, I will be coming like a thief in the night. That's when you don't expect me, right in the middle of a time when you wouldn't expect, I'm going to show up. And so it behooves people to get right and be ready for God. But what does this do for me and you, the people of God? What we have to do is learn to be discerning. Discerning is an adjective that means using wisdom and discretion about the decisions that you make. You got to think about, what do I need to do as a person of God in the midst of an evil culture? You got to learn to add what God has taught you through discipleship, what he has said in his word, sometimes even what you inherited from your parents and people before you, because they tried to pour into your life things about God. For the most part, for most of us, that's the case. Because I can remember some things that my parents, and maybe not my parents as much, even as my grandparents, fed into my life. And so I'm starting to rely on those things more and more. I'm starting to rely on the teaching of God's word since I became a serious disciple of Jesus Christ more and more in every decision that I make. You got to learn to think about the stuff that God has given you. He's given you some information, and use that to judge how to apply his love in an evil time. Because you and I live in a time when people are not even thinking about God. We live in a culture of people who are raised their entire life with no knowledge of God at all. You know, and that wasn't really true 50, 60 years ago. You heard something about God. The culture was even doing some things to let you know certain stuff is off limits and certain things are not holy. Certain things are not good. And we allow it certain times, but not on the Lord's Day. Things of that sight. That sort, I should say. And you know what? Now there's nothing like that. Anything goes on any day. And we're piping sewage right into our own homes through television and media. And it's teaching us just the opposite of what God says. So many things oppose what God stands for and what he teaches. And we feed on it, sometimes incidentally and sometimes intentionally. Sometimes we don't realize the damage it might be doing in our spirit, some of the stuff that we are listening to. And so we have to learn how to discern and love anyway, even though it is an evil time. We live in a more and more increasingly evil time day by day. So God gave the king his strength to love justice. You, he says in Psalms 99:4, have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. That lets you know God selected a particular group of people that he was going to deal with directly himself. Those were known as the Jews up until the time, and even till today, the Jews are still a people that God is seeking, even though they are not seeking him as a nation anymore. There are some saved Jews. We would call them Messianic Jews who actually believe that Messiah has come according to the law and the prophets and the holy writings, which is what we would call the Old Testament. But there are many who do not. The majority of them do not. But God is still keeping his promises. So that's the reason why we still see Israel in the middle of the news every day. See, because God is keeping his promise, and you should know it's a supernatural thing, because how else could this little small community be the bone of contention for the whole world? Only because God is the one behind it. He's preserving them in order to keep his promises that he made to the fathers. And so you and I have to see that. That's an unusual thing, but it's in the face of the public around the world. And so is the fact that Jesus the Messiah has already come. Why? Because we're counting time based on his birth around the planet, everywhere. But people want to look at that obvious fact and deny it and try to give credit to something or someone else or some other religious system. But God made it so his son is in the middle of everything in your life. And so what does the psalmist right here notice? But people have always had the same kind of way of thinking. Even though God gave them government, like we read about the king that loves justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord. That's where we ought to be, verse 5 in Psalms 99. The Lord our God, and worship at his footstool. Holy is he, the psalmist says. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, the priests of the mediators between God and the people. And Samuel was among those who called on his name. That represents the prophets. That was the transition from the law to the prophets in the day of the judges. At the end of the reign of the judges, Samuel is the pivotal figure in the Old Testament. In other words, God has been feeding out his word throughout all this time. His law through Moses and through the prophets from Samuel all the way to Zechariah. God, or we can say in the order of our Bible, from Samuel to Malachi. You see, God has given his word just something that you and I can measure. What is righteous? What is true? What is right? How should we live? How does God bless? How do you pray? How do you seek his face? All those things God has given us in his word. And so primarily they called upon the Lord and he answered them. Is what it says here in Psalms 99:6. Tells you that you can have a personal relationship with he who is holy, the Most High God. Now notice this, verse 7. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and his statutes they gave that he gave them. God has given his word. These people kept his statutes and his testimonies the best they could. Now watch this. It says here in verse 8, O Lord our God, you answered them, and you were forgiving, a forgiving God to them. They didn't do everything perfectly. Even though you blessed them with revelation and understanding that came straight out of his holiness to the world, and yet he says an avenger of their evil deeds. So God also chastises the ones who he loves, even when we don't do everything perfectly. So you can see that this has been the character of the people of God, as it says here in Psalms 99 and 8. Now the right thing to do is Psalms 99 and 9, and catch this. Exalt the Lord.
Yes.
Don't press him to the back or out of the public square. Exalt him.
Yes.
Lift him up.
Yes.
And God, he says, and the Lord and our God in worship at his holy hill. We should worship him, for holy is the Lord our God. He is holy.
Yes.
Even though he will, you know what, his chastisement is not to hurt you, it's to improve you.
Yes.
To make you better.
Yes.
See? And one thing I couldn't help but notice, this Psalms 999, that's upside down, 666,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
See? So man needs to get it together and exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. That's the end of Psalms 99. So what I want you to see is the psalmist indicates that the true God is holy, high above all people, and that he reigns no matter how it may appear to us as we are, as we look from an earthly vantage point based on the activities of fallen people. That's what we can see every day, who live under the illusion of autonomy. People think I'm doing what I want. I'm doing whatever I want. That's what autonomy means, which amounts to nothing. You can do what you want, but what good will it do if you don't exalt God? But it's the function of his mercy toward them. That's why they walking around thinking, I do what I want. But you're going to find out you do what you want, but it's to your own destruction. See, you can do it right now. That's just like you can make a bad decision. If you decide I'm going to jump off of the Stan Musial Bridge into the river, you can make that decision. But when you start, once you jump off, that's it. Your decision is done. And now whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You see what I'm saying? You're going to enter into that whether you like it or you don't. So we don't recommend you to do anything like that. See, so you can decide some stuff, but the outcome of it will be up to God. And so you need to understand that. So the psalmist can see that. He said, we live in a culture of people who have abandoned God. They don't care what he says, but God still loves them. So he is using the people who do know him and understand him to reach the people who don't. Therefore, you and I have to use discerning love for an evil time. Because you know what? They don't care about you. But you need to care about them. You need to learn to be, as Jesus told his disciples, wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. That means I got to measure every situation on the fly. I can't afford to just fall into a mold, and God doesn't want me to avoid people, active avoidance. But I do have to use good common sense and judgment about how I reach out to people that are in other circumstances or believe other things. That's why he said when you go to a house and approach them to tell them the gospel, he says, if they receive you, go ahead, give them some more information. But if they don't, shake the dust off your feet. Don't stand there. It's not your job to convince them. Talk with them about it, move along. If they don't want to receive it, it's not your job to convince them. You know why? The Holy Spirit is the one who has to convince them. But share it anyway and move along. And Paul put it this way. He said, I have planted and Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. See, so speak to them, and after you plant it, if they don't receive it, step to shake the dust, get moving. God will send somebody else to water at the convenient time, and he will give the increase. And you know why? Because he is the one who's going to get the glory. I'm not looking for glory. You see a lot of folks talking about, well, I have 742 members.
Right.
Oh, you do know those are God's members. Every one of them. I don't care how many you have. See, you know, and Paul preaching, he had none. He went from city to city around the Middle East preaching and establishing churches, but he didn't say, oh, I've got 7,425,000 believers. Because they're not your believers. They belong to God. And all you're doing is planting and watering. People do that. They get into all that. But we see a lot of stuff that's slandering the church. There's a lot of mockery in the world. And I'm going to take you just quickly here to the verses that we didn't read from Peter's last letter to the church. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at the first verse, this is the second epistle, beloved, that I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want to remind you what God has said, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandments of us, the apostles, to the Lord and Savior, speaking of Jesus, knowing this, that he says, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. See that? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this, he says, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He's speaking of the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment, the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, God does have a day of destruction in store, and it won't be water anymore. It's going to be fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why does God wait? He's waiting. He wants people to be saved. He wants you and me to be a part of the influence in their life that saves them. That either we plant or we water, but we're trying to help them be saved. God doesn't want to destroy anyone. He said he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he goes on to promise. Verse 10, Peter writing in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. In the night, it's going to come as a big surprise to so many. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. See that? God promises a fiery destruction to the heavens and the earth. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. See that? He said, what kind of people should we be, considering what God has planned for the removal and the destruction of a sin-cursed heavens and earth? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see that? So God says, I'm going to make everything new. The old heavens and the earth are going to be rolled up like a scroll. They're going to go out of existence, John says, and as he writes in Revelation, the latter part of the book. Now notice this, wherefore, he says, as also he talks about the letters of Paul, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without a spot and blameless. And account the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So he corroborates the writings of Paul, which is about half of the New Testament. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist or wrest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away by the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Those are the closing words of Peter. So there has always been a blindness within all people caused by the fall of Adam, which has been passed on to everyone born of his seed, that continually works against that which is holy and tends toward that which is selfish and ungodly, which causes and accelerates indifference and even mockery of that which is true. And that's what you see going on right now in our culture, that we as believers must utilize spiritual discernment so that we are careful to show God's love as we walk within the darkness of this fallen world.
Wow.
So that's going to take some prayer for me and you to do that. It's going to take some spiritual ability for us to understand how we are to do that. That's why we call this discerning love for an evil time.
Right.
So the Apostle Peter's final words to us come in a warning about scoffers and mockers who shall twist and deny God's truth, as Paul also writes, and indicates that the evil trend that will characterize the unbelieving people in the world in the latter days, that'll be the norm, in other words. So we're seeing it right now. That shall provoke God's wrath and a fiery judgment, which shall destroy the heavens and the earth. And it is an encouragement to remain patient with people and faithful to Jesus, spotless and blameless. Realize that God equips you to do your life right.
Amen.
And he wants you to use what he teaches you to, so that you can be show his love to other people who don't see him.
Right.
Folks can be right in God's face and they live their whole life, but they don't even see the mercy that God has extended to them. And more and more in our culture, that's the case. Because you got a lot of people who haven't even been trained at all. No home training, we used to say. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to have to use discernment. In approaching people, looking out to them. We don't want to shut down and go in closed doors and not share what God has given us. Because
right.
I think he has prepared us, this generation of the church, for such a time as this.
Yes.
You know, otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But we are here, and we are the people of God.
Yes.
See, the church has several things in its mission that Jesus gave. And I'll be done with in his last statements to the church. First of all, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. See, he's the most powerful one.
Yes.
The Bible says he was given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See? And so that's God's intention, that all the people would worship him. He is the only mediator between God and men. He wants you to be saved, whoever you are, whoever is hearing my voice. Like the Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. See? Why? Because he's inviting you to salvation. Salvation is something he must give you. You cannot earn it, and you do not deserve it. No one does. Whoever has it has received it as a free gift.
Amen.
See? And that's why it's gospel, good news, that God loves you just like you are. And I always like to say this, he loves you too much to leave you that way.
Yes.
And he can turn you around right from where you are. He will accept you anywhere where you are.
Yes.
You know, and he just says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Yes.
See, he wants to teach us how to do the right thing. See, we won't know. If it's apart from him, we won't be able to receive it. Because we do not know how to discern the things of God without the help of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, so God the Holy Spirit is calling you today. He wants you to receive the gift. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but just ask him to be your Savior, and he will. He's anxious to save you. And I want you to know that. Amen. So the church today has to be, that's one thing, we're to evangelize the world. The second thing is we are to teach the saints. We're all called to be disciples, learners. None of us ever graduate, but we're always students moving to a higher level in God. The more we learn and the more we pray. And the next thing is to worship him. All people are to worship him. That's what the psalmist wrote there in Psalms 99. Love that 99th psalm. I say that about them all, so y'all know how that is. But I hope you love it too, and I hope you know God loves you.
Oh, yes.
So most of the time we think, oh, you know, I've done so many things. There's no way God could love me, but that's not true. Because everyone has done some evil things. But God loves us all. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his grace, if it wasn't for his mercy. And he wants you
to be saved. Now, you know, I thought that was incredible when somebody first explained that to me. I thought, well, why would God want somebody like me? But he does. He loves you just like you are. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have heard the good news, the gospel, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. We believe you, Father. We want to be saved. We don't want to be numbered with the unbelievers, but we want to be in that number that goes in when the saints go marching in. Help us to be saved, Father. We know it's easy for you. The only reason we're not is we haven't asked. So right now, Father, we ask you to save us, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, deliver us. You came and showed that you were Almighty God in the flesh, that you had all power, as you said, when you got up out of the grave. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go ye and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Save somebody today, Father, just as you got out of the grave. You promise us that we will be raised up and put back in our bodies, and that we will rejoice with you in the new heavens and the new earth that you have already prepared from the foundation of the world. We give you praise right now, Father, and we ask you to save a soul right now. It's under the sound of our voice. Father, we pray for more discernment, more understanding. Teach us how to do this in these last and evil days. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said together,
amen.
Amen. If you are looking for a church home, we invite you at this time to come. Amen. You may come as a candidate for baptism or with Christian experience. Amen. As a member by letter. Any way you come, come at this time. Amen. This is a good day to be saved. I think it was on a Mother's Day when I got saved. For some reason, I remember that. But in either case, you can get saved today. Amen. All you have to do is trust in the Lord. Give your hand to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Or if you're looking for a church membership, we are here for that purpose, to continue Amen. That work of teaching.
Amen.
And that's another thing that we're called to do, that we are very happy that God has authorized us to teach his word. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Hope you got a good word from the message.